What's up, ego hackers? Welcome to season 18, where we're going to be discussing the god functions and cognitive origins. So again, this is season 18 cognitive mechanics, and we only make it available to Journeyman members, although every time I do a new episode, and we're up to 30 episodes now, we release an additional episode on the YouTube channel. So eventually, season 18 will actually make it out to YouTube one day in the future, maybe. I don't know. All of it. We'll see. But they, again, like the purpose of season 18 cognitive mechanics for the new Journeyman members, the whole point of it is to basically go over all of the fundamentals of the science in one place. That's the whole point of this season. I know that we have a lot of those fundamentals actually separated out amongst the other playlists, basically. But we're just trying to have like an all-encompassing location for everyone to just have a full tour of the science. And that is what the purpose of Season 18 Cognitive Mechanics is for. And we do a live lecture for it every month. It's supposed to be on the first Tuesday of every month, but it's been a really rough month for me. So we had to do it on the final Tuesday of the month. Also, little thing, the premium lectures for ISTJ and ISTP will be uploaded soon. Thank you all for your patience on the premium lectures this month. We should have them up. I think we'll at least have one of them up today and the next one tomorrow, I believe, depending on how post-production goes. So it is a thing. It is coming. So don't fret, I guess, over it. So yeah. But cool. We got Magdalene, Alicia, Candace, Loss, and anyone else? I think we got a few more people, but yeah, thanks for joining, folks. So we're going to be going over God functions, and we're going to be going over cognitive origins. So let's actually like discuss a little bit. So we're going to look at the hierarchy of cognition. So Jungian analytical psychology and the four sides dynamics are basically built in layers, ultimately. The deeper the layer, the more fundamental it is, you know, like, because you have a macro view of the science of Jungian analytical psychology, and then you have a micro view. The micro view is when we like break down everything into its basic parts. This is one of the reasons why in our comprehensive guide, or it's the companion guide. In our companion guide PDF document that we offer, and we have, I think, third edition is actually going to be coming out very soon. But there is, towards the end, it's like the second to last section where it actually defines the cognitive functions specifically, and it breaks them down into the smallest pieces, even down into specific words when it comes to text to that end, right? And that is really cool that we're able to do that. But again, that is at the lowest layer, right? That is as deep as it can get, getting things down. Like, for example, saying expert intuition as a cognitive function is like attached to the word could, right? Versus, you know, introvert intuition is would or will, basically. I would do that, or I will do that, or I want to do that, essentially. So we're able to break them down into single words at the deepest level. And then as you zoom out, you get more macro and macro. So like zooming out from cognitive functions, you have the four sides of the mind. Zooming out from the four sides of the mind, you have the four temples. Zooming out from the four temples, you have cognitive origins and God functions. So yeah, that's ultimately like kind of like just giving you an idea of like where we're at in the layers, and that's just kind of how it works. So, and the hierarchy of our psyches, temperaments and interaction styles are expressions of deeper layers. Temperaments being worldview and interaction styles being expression. They are more shallow and much more variable. Cognitive functions, cognitive origins, temples, and now God functions make up those deeper layers. And so at the highest level, it's ultimately God functions that are kind of the main building blocks from which human beings are derived from cognitively, right? They're also the main building blocks of the four temples. They are what inhabit the four temples, basically. They live inside of the four temples. It's what the four temples are worshiping, basically, are known as the God functions. Worship being that's what the four temples actually primarily pay attention to, right? That's the whole point behind it. So yeah, welcome, Welcome, Jason, to the show. From the God functions, the unifying layers of the temples, cognitive origins, the four sides of the mind, and the cognitive functions are formed and expressed. God functions are basically, at the end of the day, the root of our psyche. And they absolutely are. God functions make up everything. So, God functions and cognitive origins, right? The eight God functions serve as the roots that form the eight cognitive origins. Each God function governs one cognitive origin, basically. So let's actually just look at the individual temples and just go right through it, right? So for example, the God functions of the soul temple, they are extroverted intuition and introverted feeling, okay? An introverted feeling is attached to the cognitive origin of justification, which is a judgment origin, right? An extroverted intuition is attached to intimacy or connectedness, and it's also a perception it's a perception-based God function that represents that cognitive origin of intimacy and connectedness. So what does that exactly mean? What it means is that regardless of your type, if you are a member of the soul temple, which means ESTP, ISTJ, ENFP, INFJ, if you're one of those four types, basically, you really care about introverted feeling. You really care about extroverted intuition. It doesn't matter if you have extroverted intuition or introverted feeling in your top four slots. Okay, like, yeah, ISTJs and ENFPs definitely have those in their top four slots, but it's ESTPs and INFJs who have them in their bottom slots, but they still represent the soul temple. They still care about being a good person with the FI God function. They still care about being desirable with extroverted intuition. Even though the ESTP has extroverted intuition demon, it's still a very high priority to the ESTP to be as desirable as possible, especially if they're UDUF, which can be really rough, but definitely a thing. So, with that being said, you know, the four soul temple types are governed by the pursuit of character and integrity, which is ultimately introverted feeling and desirability, extroverted intuition. The soul temple represents humanity's character. It also represents the ego of humanity. It's like the central plexus that from everything that expands out for humanity within the human soul. It's directly from the soul temple, ultimately, right? So, how can a type be governed by God functions they don't have in their own ego? The reason why that ends up happening, it's because, like, at the end of the day, while they're not in the top four slots, at the end of the day, it just matters to them, because it's like a workaround. You look at an extroverted sensing hero, you know, and it's the battleground of Titans with cognitive reflection down to extroverted intuition demon, right? From that point of view, it's like the ESTP, because they're so pragmatic, right? Because of NI inferior, so afraid of its choice being taken away. What ends up happening is it's like the ESTP is trying to come up with an indirect workaround, or they're trying to come up with the most direct way to become as desirable as possible when it comes to their extroverted intuition God function, even though extroverted intuition as a function just happens to be their demon gateway function, right? Hopefully that made sense. But they're just trying to like hack their way to getting to that understanding, because they don't like, oftentimes it's so funny because ESTPs do not like direct confrontation with consequences. And they often, you know, separate desirability from consequences. The thing is that what they don't understand is that they have to give off an air of good consequences to other people in order for them to actually be desirable. But extroverted intuition demon, because of introverted intuition inferior, what ends up happening is that they end up making choices, and those choices create negative consequences or messes for other people to clean up. So what they have to do is they have to add to their introverted intuition inferior, they have to add to it and just be like, hey, the choices that I make, I must make sure that I also don't want bad consequences for others at the same time. And that's their workaround. If they do that, what ends up happening is that they're able to reach that God function desire for being as desirable as possible, right? From an introverted feeling perspective, it's a little bit different, because it's introverted feeling trickster. An introverted feeling trickster, They're so unaware of how they feel because from their perspective, anything can be good, anything can be bad. And it's really, really difficult for them to actually figure out what exactly they are justified to do, what exactly other people are justified, what to do, except they have Expert Sensing Hero, which can help them perceive the actions of others. The problem is that they assume that intent and action is the same when it's not. And oftentimes they believe that other people's actions are always guided by guiding principles, which is not actually always true, especially in the case of the ENTP. My actions are often, and you could say, I don't know, at least half the time, maybe even more, they're not really guided by my principles whatsoever. It's just what's needed at the time. It's just what's needed in the moment. You see what I'm saying? So this can cause the ESTP to be a little bit judgmental. INFJs, for example, that also can be a little difficult for them because expert intuition, nemesis, they're just worried that they're not desirable, right? And all they have to do, you know, through cognitive access is make sure that they're just becoming more familiar, putting in more effort, putting their effort in the right place. Okay, yeah, that's cool. And then also from a cognitive orbit perspective, they just have to make sure that their choices are actually desirable and their choices are not going to make anyone uncomfortable. INFJs have an easier time interfacing and making use of their God functions than the ESTP. The ESTP is basically like the redheaded stepchild or bastard of this soul temple, basically, because they have the hardest time interfacing with their God functions as a result. And that's why they actually need the most help. And it's really important that they are around people with a high level of character, very compassionate people as a result. It's a really big deal. So then the God functions of the heart temples. Let's discuss the heart temple. And that's extroverted feeling and introverted into reverence, where people are revering extroverted feeling. And that is a judgment-based origin. It's also a judgment-based God function. And it's all about when respect is given and who is it given to, when is it received, what is that all about, right? And then you have introverted intuition, right? Introverted intuition is actually all about what getting what I want. It's all about my personal freedom. It's about my ability to get satisfied and be satisfied with myself. That's introverted intuition. That is satisfaction. It is ultimately a perception, okay? And you are basically perceiving what you want and then getting it for yourself, and hopefully it actually is what you want when it is not always exactly what you want, and that can blow up in your face. And I would know that personally as an ENTP, absolutely, with NI Nemesis. More on that in a few minutes. So the four heart temple types are governed by the pursuit of freedom, also known as introvert intuition, or what they want themselves, and acceptance, which is extroverted feeling. There is a built-in tension in the heart temple's God functions. The pursuit of freedom and independence is restrained by the desire to be accepted. The internal tension in the heart temple creates polarization, which only increases the passion. This is one of the reasons why heart temple types, INTJs, ENTPs, ISFJs, and ESFPs, are actually, let's be honest, the edgiest of the types. They are just super edgy. These people are edgy, and they can't help but be edgy. They just can't help it. It's just kind of who they are. It's just kind of what happens. These people, we're just edgy, and the edgier we are, the better. Seriously, the edgier. And, you know, of course, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But like all of the types in the heart temple are pragmatic, with the exception of the ISFJ. But the ISFJ is trying to become more pragmatic, which is also pretty cool. You know, so the ISFJ is kind of like. You know, they have some struggles to that end, right? But it's important to maintain your polarization at all times, because the more polarizing you are as heart temple, and let's be honest, I'm really polarizing. I'm like that goofy guy that walks around the park at night, and there's people walk around at the park, and I'll just spontaneously break into song and sing my heart out, being an entirely big edgelord. But I don't care. And you know, it's funny because people close to me in life have like really judged me for that. But hey, I need to get some practice in. And besides, if I'm singing, why is that going to bother people when I'm singing, right? And yet all of a sudden, like, I find myself being an embarrassment to the people closest to me in my life. And it's just like, well, why? What's so embarrassing about that? There's nothing embarrassing about that. I'm just getting my practice in so that I can actually perform better later, you know? Vocal cords were not built in a day. You see what I'm saying? So I just do what I do. You know, who cares about the judgment? Besides, if people getting all judgy like that, I really don't care. I absolutely don't care. So, the Heart Temple represents the passion and inspiration for humanity. Yes, and in order to have passion and inspiration, you have to be edgy. You just have to be edgy. Otherwise, what's the point? Like, from my perspective, if I'm not edgy, then I have, like, no passion whatsoever. I have no inspiration. I could not get in front of the camera every single day of my life and talk to you people if I didn't have that passion, if I didn't have that inspiration, right? That's just how I roll. So that's the thing, like, you know, anyway, but the Heart Temple, like, brings up some questions, right? It brings up some severe questions. Because, like, you look at introvert intuition, like, which type does not have introvert intuition in its top four? Well, that's ENTP and ISFJ. So the Crusader Dyad does not have introvert intuition, which is what I want, and yet they have the cognitive origin of satisfaction. Like, ISFJs and ENTPs, we're just walking paradoxes, you know, and as saying it's so ridiculous, you know, being a Heart Temple Crusader and just being this walking paradox to this end. It's just like, oh my God, like, what the hell even happened? You know what I'm saying? So Magdalene makes a great point. Without your edginess, you'd be vanilla, no bueno. And that's the thing, like, that's the problem with ISFJs is that they often play it so safe that they actually end up becoming entirely vanilla. And it's so funny because, you know, Magdalene, she's actually like an ENTJ, right? And her natural pair is the ISFJ. So, like, if she was in a relationship with an ISFJ, she'd be working really hard to make him not as vanilla as possible, right? Like, that's how it is. It's all about, she'd be like, oh, this guy's vanilla, but I'm going to make him not vanilla, right? And build some non-vanilla, build some edge in this guy over time, right? That's just, like, she kind of seemed like a project like that, right? And that's how oftentimes, you know, actually women in general kind of interact with ISFJ men, because ISFJ men are somewhat feminine to that regard. Whereas ISFJ men need to be trained to actually, like, seek out that edge and that edginess as much as possible, right? They should really focus on that. They should really invest a lot in that edginess, okay? And one of the ways that they do that is actually leaning into their God function of introvert intuition, okay? So they have introvert intuition demon, right? So they got to lean into that God function, right? This is where we talk about how ISFJs are extremely risk averse, because taking risks or going after what they want happens to be their NI demon. And they, at first, what they have to do is be all affiliative and on a team and learn how to take risks, but with other people. Taking risks with others, right? And so there's shared risk, shared responsibility within the context of that risk. It's all about shared responsibility. You see what I'm saying? That's a really big deal, but it often doesn't happen, especially in our society, because men are just trampled upon, especially ISFJ men. They really have a hard time taking that NI risk. Whereas women, ISFJ women, due to their sexual strategy of hypergamy, especially since they are aging, they have a gun to their head, basically inside of their head, because their sexual market value is going down over time. They have no choice but to lean into that introvert intuition God function to light the way. They have no choice but to lean into their NI demon, right? So they end up doing that because they know they're not going to be satisfied because there's a time limit on them. Whereas on men, there's not so much a time limit, and that there's a higher risk of ISFJ men getting stuck in the ditch of their comfort zone because they understand that they get stuck in the comfort zone because there's no time limit, but they understand, like, you know, hey, I actually don't have all the time in the world. And that's the thing about ISFJ men. They have this perspective that they have all the time in the world, and that really grinds my gears. It really grinds my gears that they do that. INTPs also do that as well. It's introverted crusaders. I just, like, no, you don't have all the time in the world. You really don't. You know, and ESTPs and SE heroes are just as bad with that too. They don't have all the time in the world either. Like, from my perspective, time is the most valuable thing that I have, the most valuable resource I have, and I protect it like crazy. Most people think I'm wasting time constantly. Then all of a sudden, 1 or 2 months later, they see that I was actually a genius the entire time. While they be all these, like, you know, Debbie Downers or these Doubting Thomases and shit, and I'm just like, yeah, no, that's not me. That's not me. You'll see the genius of what I do. Be like, whoa, shit. Do you think he plans it all? Or does he make it up as he go along? Yeah, because I'm like motherfucking Captain Jack Sparrow. You see what I'm saying? That's just how I roll. You know, like, ultimately, like, potentially my favorite Disney character, let's be honest, is Captain Jack Sparrow. You know, I have a few other really good Disney characters that I like. I do like Pocahontas, but I also like Belle as well. You know, if you want to ask what my favorite Disney princess was, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, Disney is my my guilty pleasure, even though I also hate Disney at the same time. I'm just kind of like a walking paradox in that regard, because I think Disney is the number one reason fatherlessness is actually increasing in the world. So, you know, I'm on a situation, you know, so yeah, I'm just not down for that. So, but, you know, let's look at introvert intuition from an ENTP perspective, okay? So introvert intuition from the ENTP perspective, it's like, you know, I'm constantly worrying about my own future, but I just have to be willing to take risks. At least like, I know the risks I don't want to take versus the risks, but I don't know the risks I do want to take. So if I'm looking at someone, you know, let's say I'm like gonna ask out a girl, right? You know, let's say I ask out a girl, and then I'm just like, okay, I know what I don't want. Oh yeah, I don't want her, so I'm not gonna ask her out. Then I meet this other girl, and it's like, okay, I don't know if I don't want her, you know? So that means, okay, yeah, I'm gonna ask her out because I don't know if I don't want her. You see what I'm saying? And that's how I lean into my own God function of introvert intuition and on my own quest to getting satisfaction in my life. That would be like the ENTP approach, okay? But then let's look at extroverted feeling from a reverence perspective. You know, INTJs, they have extroverted feeling trickster. ESFPs have extroverted feeling critic. That also ends up becoming a problem. So like INTJs with extroverted feeling trickster, they're entirely aware of how other people feel. They are, they're just unaware of what makes them acceptable. And they spend their entire life trying to be as acceptable as possible, or at least learning the techniques and writing down the techniques of what it is to be acceptable. You know, like for example, for some reason, like I'd say, God, what is it? 6 out of 10, at least 6 out of 10 INTJ women don't know how to dress. Like they don't know how to dress whatsoever. Like it's so frustrating to me. Like, that's one of the reasons why I've just gone out of my way to, like, memorize women's fashion as much as possible, because my golden pair is typically entirely inept when it comes to, like, how they dress. And I'm just like, oh my God, like, I don't want to look at you. I would much rather look at, like, ISFPs, you know, who actually usually almost always know how to dress because they're super artistic and creative in that regard, you know, whereas like INTJ women are just like they're really mechanical. They're oftentimes mechanical. And while, you know, because they have, you know, the love language of submission, that's their love language. The love language of submission is great, which means that they actually can oscillate away from their innate masculinity as an INTJ woman and embrace their femininity through their cognitive origin of extroverted feeling, which makes them as acceptable as possible from a feminine perspective, right? Utilizing feminine communication, feminine polarity, they become more feminine as a result of that, which is amazing. And they have the opportunity through their love language of submission to actually go even further than that, right? Which makes them insanely beautiful. The problem is that we live in this society where it's like, hey, you better be a strong, independent woman. And then they become the strong, independent woman, and they spent all their time figuring that out, where they basically lost their femininity or their ability to be a woman, much less even able to dress themselves, which means they end up losing their acceptability. Every time I see an INTJ woman get suckered in to this career bullshit, they literally lose their acceptability. And their primary origin is reverence, which means they're actually not going to be respected because they are this so-called strong, independent woman who don't need no man, right? Because of their unwillingness to, quote, settle down, right? And due to that unwillingness, they get nowhere in their life. And they have no clue that they've just bought into this bullshit lie that society teaches them. It's like, oh yeah, you know, go to school, go to college, get a job, get a career, be a career woman, have it all. They have no idea that it actually reduces their acceptability from a God function of extroverted feeling perspective. And it reduces their reverence. Why? Extroverted feeling trickster. That's why. And because of that, INTJs, especially INTJ women, are so behind literally everybody else, behind other women on the things that they actually really care about in life. They just don't know they care about it because the trickster is there in the way. And anytime I come into contact with an INTJ woman, It's just like, okay, I see them, you know, I see them. Oh yeah, cool. It's my goal. In fact, actually, like, God, was it 2 weeks ago? I went to a dinner with a friend, and you know, I had a good time. And our server was an INTJ woman. And, like, I went over her octogram, went over her type with her and everything. She was terrified of me. You know, of course, you know, that's just kind of the normal thing. Everyone's terrified of me because I could just, like, see into their souls. You know, it's like I got eyes that pierce right through. You know, she's probably struggling to find her little aviator glasses in her purse because she wants to be able to hide behind her little aviator glasses like extroverted sensors do, right? Because the more reflective it is, the more they can't see them. You know, it's that whole thing. You know, so that's why ESTPs do it all the time. Like, they got to have their little aviator glasses so that no one can see, you know, because they're just hiding. It's so funny watching extroverted sensors hide so much. It's so ridiculous to me when they should actually learn how to expose themselves, because by exposing themselves, they'll actually gain what they're actually looking for in their life. But hey, you know, let's not do that. Let's just hide, you know, whatever we can. You know, that's also another big problem. But again, from the INTJ perspective, the fact that their extroverted feeling ends up being a trickster, it really holds them back. So they have to end up basically creating this huge research project around acceptability and what makes them the most acceptable person. This is why INTJs, especially INTJ women, deep down inside their hearts, are working really, really hard to, quote, become the ultimate catch. I actually learned that from my ex-girlfriend, Andy. Oh, I want to be the ultimate catch. Like, bitch, you ain't. You ain't the ultimate catch. You're just a scam artist who likes to pull off romance cons. Not interested in that. It's so funny because, like, I had a lot of dudes actually reach out to me saying, oh, yeah, I got conned by her. Or, oh, she just, you know, or she's going to con me or this or that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm the only one that didn't get conned. Screw y'all. I didn't get conned. And she's been, like, trying to restore her so-called reputation over and over and over and over. Like, and she'll change her pseudonym because her name is not really Andy. It's just a bullshit pseudonym. And so she'll change her pseudonym over time. She's had, like three different ones, you know, between Suma, Andrea, Blaine. Like, she keeps changing it over time. She's got to keep changing it, you know, for every con she pulls off, naturally, right? And then redoing all of her socials as a result. So I find that fascinating. I find that hilarious, Miss White Collar Crime, you know, from that perspective. And but again, it all comes down to, like, level acceptability. And she thinks she, you know, she's acceptable. It's like, no, you're not acceptable at all. You know, again, extroverted feeling mastery is required to get to that high level of acceptability. It's so important. You know, but then we look at the ESFP, and they're very critical towards what is actually acceptable. They can be so critical towards what is necessarily acceptability that they end up zeroing themselves out in the process and find themselves being entirely unacceptable with their behavior and how they come off. Because they come off as, you know, let's be honest, especially in women, bitchy airheads, okay? And what exactly is acceptable about that? And, you know, I understand that judgment really hurts them. But the thing is that there's a reason that stereotype exists when it comes to ESFPs, especially ESFP women. And you know what? That stereotype is becoming far more common amongst ESFP men. And it's, like, insanely sad, because as men let go of their masculinity over time, and it just really comes down, you know, from a God function perspective. It's ridiculous. So, you know, it just ends up blowing up in their face. They have to learn to be less critical towards what is actually acceptable, because, and then work hard to become the embodiment of acceptability themselves, because it's a critic. Let's move on. Then we have the mind temple. The God functions of the mind temple are introverted thinking and extroverted sensing. Extroverted sensing performance leads to the cognitive origin of authority, also known as, and it is a perception. Introverted thinking leads to the cognitive origin of validation, also known as judgment. So TI feels validated when people come to it to solve a problem, and that's how they feel validated. Validation is there. Extroverted sensing, if I perform really well enough, that means I am given authority, because I'm an authority on the subject, because I am a top performer. It's actually hella appeals to INTJs, for example, right? So the four mind temple types are driven by the pursuit of knowledge, also learning, and education, educating others, pursuit of knowledge, conferring knowledge on other people, as well as gaining knowledge for themselves. So correctness, which is introverted thinking, and influence, which is extroverted sensing from a performance perspective. These types view knowledge and skill as currency and are seeking authority in shaping the minds of other people. The mind temple governs the expertise, education, and skill development of humanity. All right. So you have an ENFJ who has TI and SE. So, like, great. You also have the ISTP who has TI and SE in their top four functions of their mind. Great. So they already have really good relationships with their God functions. But let's look at the other types. INFPs with extroverted sensing trickster and introverted thinking demon. Do you think they have a great relationship with their God functions? Yeah, no. Or the ESTJ, extroverted sensing critic and introverted thinking nemesis. Nope. They struggle. So these types are the ones that struggle in the mind temple. This is why the ENFJ and the ISTP oftentimes lead the mind temple, while the other types are kind of lagging behind a little bit. But the authority types really, really struggle with their interface in terms of how they interact with their God functions. So, for example, the INFP needs to literally go out of their way to increase their personal performance, which means they have to stop being risk-averse and actually take on some risks. And they have to recognize that it is their duty to actually do a good job. Whatever outcome, whatever experience they're looking to do, they have to be willing to share it with others and actually create a shared experience instead of just slothfully or lazily having that experience for themselves. And making sure that they are including and being very inclusive. And by being inclusive, they are able to lean into their God function of extroverted sensing, which is their trickster. And then because of how inclusive they're being, they actually gain their cognitive origin of authority. And it all comes from inclusiveness. Isn't that crazy? But that's literally how that works, okay? Well, what about TI? They have that TI demon in there, right? And they're not, like, how are they going to get validated with TI Demon? Especially when TI Demon comes up, it just, you know, it's their voice and no one else's voice. And they will crush everyone else's voice, even potentially violently, right? And what that really comes down to is that they just have to actually kind of engage in some level of fairness. They have to allow fairness. It's like, okay, I said my piece, or you said your piece, now I get to say my piece. Let's look at everyone's opinion here. And the thing is that they have to be willing to listen in as much as we make sure that they are patient enough to allow other people to listen to them. Because sometimes INFPs will prepackage their opinion and they'll state the exact same opinion. The thing is that it doesn't land on people the same way when they're packaging up their opinion. They need to make sure that they have a separate opinion. It's the same opinion, principally speaking, but the delivery is different. Again, you know, sharing things properly, which gives them authority. But at the same time, when they're actually sharing their thoughts, they have to be aware of the fact that there's somebody who needs to be able to at least listen to them when they're sharing their thoughts. And their thoughts don't always have to be so insanely negative either. Sometimes they just have to be willing to tell the freaking truth for what it is. But that's really hard for INFPs to do. It takes probably their whole life to actually figure that out. And INFPs, they're like the redheaded stepchild of the mind temple, specifically due to their God functions being the absolute lowest in their function stack. It's very difficult for them. Then ESTJs, for example. ESTJs, they're worried about what they think. Well, it's easy when you have your God function in a nemesis slot because basically you are aware of what's not true. You're just not aware of what isn't, you know, what is true, basically. So if you're not aware of what, you know, what is not true already, because you know with TI nemesis, okay, yeah, that's not true, that's bullshit, fair enough. But when you're considering something and you don't know if it's bullshit, it may be true, which means that's when it's your responsibility to start researching and looking into it more. And that will bring you validation, basically, because as you research, you'll actually discover the truth slowly over time. Whereas from, you know, an extroverted sensing performance perspective, they need to stop being critical of everyone else's performance and instead inwardly be critical of their own performance. And once they're inwardly critical of their own performance, they will be able to gain more authority because they'll start to be outperforming everyone else and they will gain a lot of influence because people will want to be able to perform like them. Very simple. So the ESTJ definitely has it a lot easier than the INFP, which is difficult. So yeah, now on to the body temple. God functions the body temple. Extroverted thinking is attached to the cognitive origin of purpose, which is a judgment origin, a judgment God function. Introverted sensing is attached to the God function or the cognitive origin of discovery, also known as exploration, and that is a perception, okay? The four body temple types are driven by the pursuit of achievement, extroverted thinking, and to discover memorable experiences to share, which is introverted sensing. They are all about creating the meaningful things to share with other people and to build a body of achievement that leaves a mark in history. And remember, body temple types, ISFP, ENTJ, INTP, ESFJ. Okay, that's body temple, all right? So body temple ends up, you know, being the grand legacy for humanity that is left behind. And it's all based on that pursuit of achievement, that legacy of achievement that I always talk about, and discover memorable experiences to share with others. And those memorable experiences may actually be the inspiration for that pursuit of achievement, or a pursuit of achievement will lead to new memorable experiences to share, right? That's how it works. Now, you know, INTPs, they're really good. They got SI child, they got their God function, their child side, it's all good. You know, ESFJs, they also got SI parents, they're pretty good at their God function. It's, with extroverted thinking, however, they suck. You have extroverted thinking demon in the ESFJ, where they expect everyone else to listen to them, but they do not listen to anybody. They don't listen to nobody, which is a problem. It's a consistent issue. They have to learn how to ultimately listen. They have to learn to humble themselves enough to actually be patient enough to listen. Because at that point, that's where they're able to actually achieve. They will not be able to achieve anything in their lives unless they are committed to listening to other people and overhearing. This is one of the reasons why ESFJs and INTPs are such horrible gossips, because they actually do listen sometimes. And when they listen, they remember everything and can recount everything with pinpoint accuracy. Okay? Watch out. ESFJ and INTPs are big gossips. Watch out for that. That's kind of like a big deal. That's a big thing. All right? So that's one thing to be aware of. Oh, my son just woke up. So, four body temple types driven by the pursuit of achievement, expert thinking to discover memorable experiences to share, introverted sensing. They're all about creating meaningful things to share with others and to build a body of achievement that leaves a mark in history. Okay, so that's the point with ESFJs. To get close to their God function, it's all about leaving a mark in history. They're not going to be able to do that unless they listen, unless they actually start caring about what other people think, instead of trying so hard to get that validation in terms of caring about what they think. They have to make that outward instead of inward, essentially, right? And then from the point of the matter of the INTP, they, extroverted thinking, they know that you know, some of the thoughts of others are bullshit. They know when other people are basically being stupid. But what they don't know is what other ideas or what other people are actually really smart and intelligent. And INTPs need to learn how to give those people a chance in order to lean into their extroverted thinking, purpose-based God function. But conversely, let's look at ENTJ and ISFP. Their introverted sensing is pretty low. SI trickster for the ENTJ, sharing experiences, sharing memorable experiences with other people, but in a way where they've discovered those memorable experiences themselves without looking at what other people are doing to come up with that conclusion. You see what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't happen, right? It's because it's a trickster. So they have to learn how to write everything down that they see, that they sense themselves within their own life. And it's not necessarily all about other people. They need to write things down about themselves. They have to learn how to journal, for example, right? Because they're keeping track of what they themselves have discovered and then actually work hard to share what they themselves have discovered. But sometimes they get afraid to do that because for some reason they believe that other people's experiences are more valuable than their own, when the reality of the situation is that's entirely false. Their experience matters just as much, okay? And they have to go in that direction. Yes, the book of failures. Thank you, Magdalene. So yeah, big deal. And then for ISFPs, they need to be, they're so critical of things that they've discovered. They're so critical of those memorable experiences that what they end up doing is not sharing. ISFPs have a severe problem with not sharing with other people. ISTPs do as well, but it's especially bad with ISFPs because they're outcome focused. They're not willing to go on that journey of sharing. And it's like, mine, mine, mine. They're like that seagull, you know, from Finding Nemo. Mine, 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 mine. That's the ISFPs. That's why they can be kind of like very enslaving sometimes. Sure, ENTJs can too, but especially ISFPs, right? And that ends up blowing up in their face, being a severe problem, a really big deal. So what they end up having to do is stop being so critical about what's theirs and actually work hard to share. Because they'll discover memorable experiences, but they'll want to keep them for themselves. They have to be willing to share that treasure, share those memorable experiences. Because, yeah, they are a wayfarer. They're like pirates. Take what you can, give nothing back, right? But they need to be willing to share those memorable experiences that they have actually discovered. Share it with at least one person instead of just keep it for themselves. It's like ISFPs that have these certain private spots that they have in nature where they just go by themselves and do their art or whatever. But as soon as someone comes by and like is in like violating that private space, they hate it. Or like they're this person who ends up like going to the bar and there's this favorite chair they like to sit in. They hate the person that's sitting in their favorite chair because of their introverted sensing critic. You know, that's how like they need to stop doing that. Instead, they need to discover memorable experiences to share with other people and work hard to share with others. Okay, that's how they lean into their God function of discovery, also known as introverted sensing. Okay, so yeah. That's basically how the God functions interact with the 16 types. I didn't really want to talk about the types that do have the God functions in their top four stacks because it's pretty self-evident how that works out. I wanted to talk about the types that have really rough relationships with their God functions, especially when they're in the Trickster and Demon slot. So I just wanted to give you guys a basic overview as to how that worked and when that happened. So yeah. But overall, that's ultimately what God functions are fundamentally, and how they the cognitive origins are actually pieces of the God functions ultimately, and how all of that works. So, I think that's it for the end of this lecture. I am not going to be taking questions today relating to this because I think I've just laid it all out pretty well and as is. So yeah. So with all that being said, folks, thanks for watching and listening to this month's live lecture. We will see you in about 2 or 3 weeks in the month of June. And thank you all for being our paid clients, and thank you for being ego hackers and being part of the community. If you're not already in Discord, get in Discord, discord.gg/egohackers. So with all that being said, folks, I'll see you guys tonight on the Discord server. Later.